वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। Yesterday we discussed some very difficult points. I'm not sure how much I could make you understand. The Lord says, Krishna says, that this whole universe is in me. I am not in it. Again he says, behold the glory of my mesmerism, power. That the beings are not in me, so they are in me, I am not in them. They are not in me, neither am I in them. So how do we reconcile these contradictory statements? Very important to understand. Yesterday I said, in case the point is not clear, let us briefly put it this way. So, where from this universe has come? From God. There is no other way, because if you accept the idea of God, first of all you can't say God is limited. You can't say there is someone besides God. If there is only God, this universe only can come out of God. If this universe has come out of God, what else could it be but God? Because the effect cannot be other than the cause. Clear this much? Logic tells us this much. Then why does the Lord say that I am not in them? What does he mean? Neither they are in me. So, another viewpoint is this. That these statements are made from two different viewpoints or angles. When we look from the viewpoint of creation, then where is the creation contained in?
God.
Where is the table contained? Mm-hmm. Since it has come in from wood, it cannot be anything other than the wood. So all these nama rupa, name and form, they are in where? In the wood. In the wood. Yes. So that is one point of view. Then again says, I am not in them. What does he mean? The whole thing is dependent upon him. The whole table is dependent upon wood. He can't deny the fact. What is he telling? He is telling, when your attention is focused on the name and form, you forget the wood. How? When the light from the projector is falling on the screen, what do you see?
What is
only the screen. When the light is falling on the screen, what do you see?
Just the screen.
Just the screen. But the moment the figures start to appear, do you see the screen?
No.
You see? So that is what happens. When we are looking at the name and form, we forget what it is made up of. So he says, no, look, they are in me, but I am not in them. Means I am not being taken notice of. Right. Then again he says, behold, they are not in me, neither I am in them. This is from the absolute point of view. There is no name, there is no form. The bubble bursts. Then what do you see? Only the water. From the water's point of view, since the beings are not, the bubbles are not there, then only ocean is there. In the other words, you have to put yourself in the place of the ocean. You can't say, I'm standing on the side of the ocean and looking at the ocean now. When we are giving this illustration, you are the ocean. From you the thoughts come. Into you, unto you, the thoughts return. So, two angles, two points of view. So, I hope this would be some help in understanding that mysterious statement. So that any mysterious statement is a very mysterious statement. Where from this mystery has come? It is a peculiar thing. So let me tell very briefly a story to illustrate this point. And you all know this story, some of you at least know definitely. You know, Krishna is the Lord. He had a great devotee, one of the greatest devotees called Narada. Now this Narada was always intrigued. If everybody says, Lord, you have such a tremendous power. When we use the word power, we must always remember the power is a quality, and a quality is dependent upon the substance. The form depends upon the wood. Form is a quality. Name is a quality. If without the wood, there would be no quality at all. So substance and quality. Whenever we are talking about power, we have to say that's a quality. It is one with the substance, at the same time distinct from the substance. So what is, supposing you know, you are wearing a shirt. So you are looking very beautiful. That's what you think. Actually it is. That's what illusion comes. It is the dress which is looking beautiful, which attracts our attention. The wearer is only a secondary thing. Comes. It is the dress which is looking beautiful. So, the power. What is the point? Important point. Power is always a manifestation. A quality is always a duality. See, quality is a duality. If the quality becomes one with the substance, there is nobody to perceive it. In your sushupti, you don't perceive anything at all. But as soon as you come out, immediately you perceive, here is a man, he is good, he is beautiful, he is short, he is like this, etc., etc., comes. Qualities. Depends upon the substance. But always this creates a duality. What am I talking about? If we want to know what is the power of the Lord, you can only discuss it from a dualistic point of view. You are there. Oh, Lord has got a power. If nobody is there to perceive the power, who will know whether there is any power? Before manifestation of this world, where is the power? It may be there, it may not be there, we don't know. But if there is no one, do you see what a funny thing it is? If you are alone in the forest, are you a good man or bad man? Are you a truthful person or untruthful person? Selfish person or unselfish? Nothing exists. So, always the quality is from the dualistic, manifested point of view. So, we have to accept it. So, that is called power. This power of God is called in Vedanta Maya. See? So, this Narada was there. He heard about this power of the Lord, and then he went one day and asked, Lord, you please show me your Maya. Krishna said, you know, you are a Brahmachari. Why do you want to see, show the Maya? You know, Brahmachari becomes a Brahmachari. When he sees Maya, a monk becomes a monkey. But, you know, many people don't know. What is the difference between monk and monkey? A monk with a key is monkey. A monkey without key is a monk. See how clear? Yeah. This is the truth. This is the truth. That's why in the Ramayana, I said, you know, I think I did to explain, Hanuman is called a monkey. Why did he become the greatest messengers of Rama? So what happened? That monkey had become transformed into a monk. How? By diverting his focusing his attention on Rama, completely devote by devoting himself to Rama. If our monkey mind, we are all monkeys, in our mind, you know, Swami Vivekananda said, our mind is compared to a monkey, not only an ordinary monkey, it is a drunken monkey, it is a stung monkey, it is a possessed monkey. Yes, Swami Vivekananda, we are alive. But if this, there is nothing wrong, we can be stung by the pain of the world, we can be drunk by the divine name of the Lord, we can be possessed by complete knowledge of the Divine Lord, then this very mind becomes or transformed into the image of the Divine. That is the significance. That is why Rama sends Hanuman to the... It's besides the topic. I'm just mentioning in this case, you know, you are a monk. Narada is a called a Brahmachari, means what? A monk. Why do you want this Mahamaya? You want to see my Maya? No, I am very curious. That means he had fallen under the influence of the very request, I want to see your Maya. He had already fallen into the clutches of the Mahamaya. The Lord promised, yes, I will show you. One day, both of them went out for a walk, for a long, long walk. It was very hot, and many hours they walked. Then Krishna said, I am thirsty, I am tired, I am sitting under this tree, and please fetch a tumbler of water. There was a small stream flowing by. Have you heard of this story? Okay. So Narada said, just a few seconds, I will fetch. So he went there, bent down. As he bent down, the whole river or stream disappeared. There was a village on the other side of the stream. He found himself in the very first house, and he knocked at it. The idea was there. I want to get a bit of water. As soon as he knocked, the door was open. A young girl of 16 or 18 is most beautiful girl. What do I mean by beautiful girl? See, I am talking so that you will understand in a better way. What is beauty? If I like somebody, that person is beautiful. We say the young one of a monkey, the most beautiful in the eyes of its mother. What is beauty is what is called in the eyes of the beholder. This is the truth. If I love someone, that person is most sweet, beautiful, or whatever you call it. So he saw a young girl. Immediately he fell under her spell. He forgot. So she invited him, please come. And as they started talking, you know, so this developed into, as Sai Baba used to say, when two young people meet, it starts with a talk, develops into a walk, then ends in a lock. First wedlock, then deadlock. So he was relishing her company. He wanted to speak with her more. And then she said, I am the only daughter of a farmer, and my dad had gone out. My mother is dead. He is looking after me. Please wait. He will be very happy to see you. And the father came. Sir, a beautiful, prospective, appropriate son-in-law for his daughter. So he said, please be my guest. And after a few days, he said, you have lived a monk's life sufficiently. Now why don't you become a monkey a little bit for a short time? He agreed, gladly. And he married. And after a few years, the father-in-law died. Meanwhile, he went out for his livelihood in the working, cultivating the fields. Several years passed, several children were born. And he was becoming more and more wealthy, and he was accumulating lot of money. There was no banking system in those days. That's why they used to marry. What is the fastest money transferring system, even more than electronic transferring system, it is called marriage. Anyway, so one day there was a terrible flood and the stream had become a what is called raging river, sweeping everything. So everybody in the village was threatened. So he caught hold of his wife, one child here, and all his possessions were in his bag. He tied himself there, trying to cross that raging river and going to a higher ground. But in the process, you know, first the wife was swept away, then one by one the children, all the possessions have gone away. You can just imagine. In real life, that's what happens in tsunami. If you think this is a story, forget about it. It is reality of life put in the form of a story. Suddenly, he found himself all alone. He started sobbing his heart out. Oh Lord, what have you done to me? Suddenly, a gentle voice came floating. Narada, why are you delaying? And he woke up. He found he was in the stream, went down, and he understood. All these events had taken place within the span of few seconds. Then he understood, this is Mahamaya. Then he went and bowed down and said, Lord, if you are pleased with me, grant me a boon. May I never fall under the bewitching power of your Mahamaya. So this story is an extraordinarily significant story for understanding any scripture. What is the significance? We are all under the spell of Maya. This is the truth. We are born a particular place. We develop attachment to our parents, our brothers and sisters, we get married. Then you see, detachment comes from others. The more we fall in love with our own family, parents are pushed aside, brothers and sisters are pushed aside. Which people become more important in our life? The wife, the husband, the children. See, a separate world has been created. And all the earlier, you know, we say, brothers, oh, we cannot live separated from each other. Sisters, we can't live separated from each other. But all those become a secondary importance when we start our own selfish journey. And time, years pass. And so many events take place. So yesterday we discussed briefly what is Maya. Maya consists of three things. What are they? Time, space, and causation. See, a few seconds have become several years. Space, he was bending in the stream. But where did he find? In a village. And he got married. And he prospered. He was accumulating money. Whole spatial concept had changed. That small stream now had become a huge house filled with wealth and grains and cattle and other things. What for did he go to the stream? What was the cause? To fetch a bit of water. What had happened now? What causation has changed? He was married, he was a father, became father of several children, became a prosperous farmer. See, the totally time, space, causation has changed. This is called the power of the Lord, Mahamaya. What happens? The one becomes many. And the infinite seems to become finite. And the all-powerful seems to become weak. And the desireless and perfect seems to become desireful and imperfect. What does the Upanishad say? Purnamada, Purnamidam, that is perfect, this is also perfect. But in reality, it doesn't become imperfect, it doesn't become finite, it's not possible. This is one of the greatest contributions of Vedanta to world religious thought. What is it? The concept of the Atman. There are three main Indian schools of philosophy. They are non-dualism, with which we are more familiar, and qualified non-dualism, which is Ramanuja system, and dualism, which is the system of Madhva. Now, every religion, every philosophy is nothing but a variation of these three. There cannot be anything else. Either you think this whole world is completely separate, everything is separate from each other, or you think there is unity in diversity. There is a separation. And at the same time, we are all united with each other. How is it? First, even from logic, from a logical point of view, you know how? First of all, divide people into humanity into two, the men and the women. Don't say Hindus and Americans and all those, Indians and Americans. Just say men and women. All men and women can be categorized as humanity. And then the division comes. So, this is, what about animals, what about plants? Yes, from the prana, life point of view, whatever has life, we also have life, animals have life, plants have life, everything that has life, so we all become united, one, from the viewpoint of prana. Then we go further and say, from the viewpoint of existence, the rivers exist. The forests exist, the mountains exist, the stars exist, the planets exist, the galaxies exist, and from that point of view, there is absolutely no difference between what we call non-living and the living. So the more generalization we make, the more unity is achieved. See how wonderful it is? Then when we reach that level of the final level of generalization, then there is no difference between living and non-living, good or bad, saint or sinner, happiness or unhappiness. And that final generalization is named by Vedanta as Brahman. Brahman. So, if everybody is Brahman, then what is the difference? In the manifestation. So, what is the difference between this and normal view? The difference is, if everything is Brahman, if that is the nature of everything, then everything in course of time must realize its own nature. So a piece of wood, will it realize its nature? Yes, it will. How does it do? I won't go deep into it. It is a big discussion. Very briefly, suppose there is a piece of wood. You burn it. What does it become? So you put that ash into, say, cow dung. What do you do with the cow dung? Put it as a fertilizer to the plant. And when the plant absorbs it, doesn't it? What does that non-living become? Living. And then when you eat the plant, what does the plant become? You, your prana. You see? This is a mysterious process. From a lifeless thing acquires life, not in aeons, not in millions of years, almost instantaneously, every day it is happening. Actually, what is? We all eat non-living only. Nobody eats any living thing. Have you understood it? Supposing you want to eat a chicken. Do you eat, even if you eat it, catch it live and eat it, before you eat it, what does it become?
Dead.
Your dead matter is non-living. But as soon as you absorb it, some miraculous transformation takes place, a part of it becomes us. Bread or anything, any food. Food is always only dead matter. But the moment we take it in, we make it into a living matter. It becomes our living self. Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Every day it's happening. So when a saint, when a person becomes a saint, and what is happening to the dead matter which was absorbed by him? Has it not evolved? So everything in this universe is being recycled. Living becomes non-living, non-living becomes living. Is it not a fact? This is the most astonishing fact, that the non-living is suddenly acquiring life. What a marvelous thing it is. From a historical point of view, they say, you know, inorganic matter has slowly become organic, and it somehow, at some point, life has come. The scientist view is, I mean, our Vedantic scientist view is, if there had been no life in the inorganic, then how does the it suddenly occur? It is impossible. Something will come out of nothing. It is not possible. So the only explanation, it must be there in a potential form, hidden form. So with this background, let us now study this. So the Lord says, I have a power, mysterious power, and that is called Maya. So what is this mysterious power? In this regard, we have to understand 2 points. One point is that mysterious power is non-separate from God. God only is manifesting as that mysterious power. The second point is that it is God only who is manifesting as this universe in the form of that mysterious power. So this is what in Vedanta philosophy is called Prakriti. Another name for Maya is Prakriti. And what does this Prakriti consist of? You all have been studying Vedanta. You know, you must take some systematic classes. Otherwise, jumbled up ideas. You know, you hear somebody saying something, somebody else saying something, or read somebody saying something, unable to connect it, like A, B, C, D. What does Prakriti consist of? 3 things. What are they? 3 gunas. Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So this whole universe came out of Prakriti. That means what? These 3 gunas have become manifested under different circumstances as living, non-living and good people, bad people. What is it? It's nothing but quality. So that is one point. The next point is, since everything is a manifestation of gunas. Do you understand? Gunas, 3 gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. All of you understand? So, these 3 gunas again, they are not fixed. They are changing all the time. From morning till evening, early morning you are
sattvic.
As the sun rises, your rajasic quality, and when the sun, after the sun sets, your tamasic. And after you go to sleep, Paramasattvika, you are the greatest saint on earth as long as you are sleeping. Yes. Oh, how innocent, how pure. You are not even thinking, you are only experiencing pure bliss. Yeah. Even if a mosquito comes and bites you, you are only experiencing pure bliss. What can be more sattvic, saintly quality than this? Okay. So, these two points we discussed. What is it? This Prakriti is non-separate from Brahman. And it is only the Prakriti which works through these 3 gunas. 3 gunas manifest, express them in the form of this whole visible universe. So that is how, that means originally God. From God in the form of 3 gunas called Prakriti manifests himself in the form of this myriad, manifold universe. Upanishadic, what is called support for this statement. So आकाशात् वायुः वायोः अग्निः अग्नेः आपः अद्भ्यः पृथिवी पृथिव्याम् ओषधयः सो फ्रम् आत्मन केम् आकाश स्पेस् फ्रम् स्पेस् केम् वायु एर् फ्रम् एर् केम् दि फायर् फ्रम् दि फायर् केम् दि वाटर् फ्रम् वाटर् केम् दि अर्थ् फ्रम् अर्थ् केम् Nowadays, biology is telling this. How did this cosmos arise? There was a huge burning fire thrown out by the magnetic force. Some impact, something they say, piece of it had fallen here. What is your stars? Tremendously burning masses of gas, is it not? Fire. From that only, from stars only, with this all the planets have come. Is it not true? Then how did it come? Slowly this fire became cool. When it becomes cool, what did it become? Water. And from the water solidified came matter or earth. From this came all these visible living, non-living beings. So water is the source of life. But if you go still further, fire is the source of water. If you go further, air is the source of fire. And if you go further, Akasha is the source of this universe. If you go further, Brahman is the source of... This is clearly all the Upanishads are telling. That means what? Pure consciousness has given rise to this manifold universe. How do you know? Because you see, you close your eyes, meaning that you forget. The whole universe disappears. Open your consciousness. And what happens? Immediately, you become aware of this universe. Not only that. First, you become aware of three things happen here. How many things? Three things. What are those three things? The first thing is, I am. The second thing is, it is. There is something there. When this interaction takes place, whatever is there is not interpreted by us exactly as it is, but depending upon our three gunas. If I am sattvic, I will see that thing in one way. If I am rajasic, the same thing I will perceive in another way. If I am tamasic, I perceive it, interpret it, and react towards it in a different way. See what a beautiful concept has come. So we doubt, I discussed that point also. So how can this concrete universe come out of mere thought? Yes, in dream are you not creating? And if you bump against a sharp object, will you not feel the concreteness? Do you feel it is all a thought? You feel it. So how do we know that this also is not merely a dream? In fact, it is nothing but ideas. That is why the world is an idea in our mind. Even if you think there is something concrete there, it doesn't matter. I don't know, you don't know what it is. But we see it. Means what? That information is coming into our brain. And we are not taking that information exactly as it comes. We are filtering it. If I likes, dislikes, habits, the same object is seen by different people as different things. So in my previous talks, I gave a beautiful illustration. I will repeat it for the sake of clarity. Here is a table. Here is a what we call
table.
That's why I am calling it. Here is an object. Don't call it table or anything. Here is an object. Imagine, just for clarity's sake, it is a wooden table. Ask a woodworm, what is it?
Food.
Ask a carpenter, what is it? It's wood. Ask a physicist with an electronic microscope. What does he see? What a change has come. Not only he doesn't see anything called table or wood or anything, it is nothing but whirling. This is here, the, if you ask this table, is it concrete, is it static or is it dynamic? But as soon as you look at it through a microscope, is it static or dynamic?
Dynamic.
See, the whole change has come. That is the first change. What is the second change? What is the second change? Through that, if he turns that microscope towards the table, towards me, towards you, what does he see?
Same.
Exactly the same things. We can say, call it energy, right? Now, ask Sri Ramakrishna, what is this? What does he say?
God.
Brahman. You see, then who is right or who is wrong? All of them are right. And all of them are wrong. See, same object, depending upon our state of consciousness, means our state of interpretation, the object becomes an entirely different thing. So, where is the concreteness then?
Idea.
When a physicist looks at it, where is the concreteness then? When a saint looks at it, where is the concreteness then? In fact, the object disappears, that is the idea. Even a physicist, for him, he doesn't see a specific object, it becomes a generalized object. Whereas when a saint looks at that, the object completely disappears. There is no object. Because you can't see Brahman. Brahman is not an object. See the point? This is the mysterious power of God called Maya, Prakriti, Yoga Maya, Avidya. All these different names are given. With this background, the Lord is telling, we can finish quite a number of verses. What does he say? Before that, what I would like to point out is the verse number 7. It is there. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakshaye punastani kalpadav visrujamyaham. This at the end of a kalpa, O son of Kunti, all beings go back to my prakriti. At the beginning of another kalpa, I send them forth again. Kalpa means a long period of time. So what happens, like Noah's, you know, that flood took place, like that all creatures go back into the unmanifested state, but again they come back. I think I discussed the four types of pralayas. Did I not? Do you remember? One is nitya, another is naimittika, another is when the Brahma himself goes back, then the last is called atyantika. When a person is liberated, there is no more. Until that time, we just go into the unmanifested state, come back. A tree goes into a seed state, again comes back from the seed into tree state. So he says beautifully that all creatures go back to the state of Prakriti and come back. By this also, what is he indicating? That since all creatures came out of me, in the end, where do they go?
To me.
There is no other choice but to merge in God only. That is the basis of Vedantic statement, that we have come from God, we will go back to God. Willy nilly, you want or you don't want, at the end, sooner or later, you all go back to that state, sooner or later. Did I tell you that story, sooner or later? A thief was caught. He was taken to a magistrate. Magistrate was asking him that, where do you live? He said, here and there. What do you do? He said, this and that. The magistrate got angry and put him in the cell. Then the fellow, he said, when am I going to be released? He said, sooner or later. So sooner or later, we are all going to be released. Yeah. Why? Because when the God is asking, what, where do you live? He says, here and there. What do you do? This and that. Nothing is clear. And when we ask, Lord, when am I going to be happy? He says, sooner or later. But if you want a definite answer, the law of karma is there. There is a specific program. So God says, so what am I supposed to do? You are supposed to attain four things. What are they?
Dharma,
artha, kama, moksha. That is a proper understanding of life, what it is and why it is and what is the goal and what should be done. Then live the life accordingly, enjoy this life, and after some time experience teaches you that we should go beyond these limitations. A quest starts, that is called spiritual life. So that is the goals of life. In order to attain to these goals of life, life is divided into four parts. What is that? The learning stage, the experiencing stage, the withdrawal stage, the complete attainment of freedom. These are the four. Brahmacharya, Garhastya, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, Ashramas, corresponding to these four more or less goals. And to facilitate how we can attain, then the Vedas are divided into four parts. The first part is how, what type of actions I should do to attain the first dharma. Then the second part is called first karma, then dharma, then upasana, then jnana.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are the stages. First we are all haphazard, a child doesn't know what is right, what is wrong. After experience he learns. There is a right way of doing things, there is a wrong way of doing things, dharma. Then after some time he says, this is too limiting. Then what does he do? He prays to God, that contemplates upon the higher realities. That is called the upasana kanda. Then ultimately a time will come, he becomes completely detached. How beautiful is this scheme. So a morning I was talking, you know, we all should plan for life. This is a beautiful planned scheme of life in the scriptures, any scripture. You take Bible, study it in the proper way, it has a plan. Then you study Vedantic Upanishads or Vedas, it has a planned way. So first planning for health, then planning for happiness. You know, people think happiness can be bought in supermarkets. 200 milliliters of happiness, 500 milliliters of happiness, you think you can buy? You can't buy happiness. You will have to plan for happiness. So what is that planning? What is the planning for health? Planning for health means what type of constitution you have. So in what state of health you are now. So if you wanted to increase your strength and stamina and health and other things, what type of diet, what type of exercise, how much rest you must take, how much hard you have to work, all these things are called planning for health. Don't you see? People are jogging early in the morning and all that. Yeah. So that is only part of this. What about planning for happiness? So, what is a scripture? What does the Hindu scriptures, Vedas do? It is a plan for happiness. So there are two choices are there. Do you want a short-term happiness or you want a long-term happiness. If you want short-term happiness, so you do certain things in this world, then it will give you limited happiness in this world, also in heavenly world. That idea has come here. So it is not a negative idea, as projected by Shankarites, post-Shankarites. You know, post-Shankarites, oh, this world is nonsense, is all pessimistic ideas. No, Vedas do not know what is called pessimism. They are full of optimism. Madhuvatharitayate madhuksharanti sindhavaha. May life become sweet to us. Madhu means what? Sweet. Madhuksharanti sindhavaha. May all the rivers and everything, the whole nature, only rain sweetness to us. Were they fools to think that life is all sweet? They accepted life and say, if you have a particular attitude on life, then life becomes extraordinarily joyous, celebration. So, they have this short-term happiness, they have not condemned. Because a child always wants short-term happiness. But a mature person is supposed by definition only plan for long-term happiness. So, a short-term happiness in worldly life is provided for in the first part of the Vedas, which is called Karma Kanda. The long-term happiness is catered by the last part of the Vedas. No condemnation. It is a gradual progress from a lower stage to a higher stage. So dharma, artha, kama. They are not condemned. What in fact they are called purusharthas. If you don't desire them, you are not a human being. You have to desire as a human being and fulfill your desires. When you are mature enough, okay, this is fine as far as it goes. But I want unbroken happiness. Okay, there is a way. When you have come from in, the quest must come from inside. You can't inject Vivek and Vairagya, unfortunately, into any one of us. So, with this background, the Lord, the whole universe has come out of the Lord. How did it come? Through His power of Maya or Prakriti. What does the Prakriti consist of?
Three gunas.
Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So, the whole universe is evolving. Again, evolving means what? So, something cannot evolve unless it is involved. Do you see the point? In a school, a Christian school, they were teaching Bible about Jesus Christ. So the teacher came and then he taught, you take refuge in Jesus Christ, He will save you from all sins. How well they understood, the teacher wanted to find out. So yeah, one day I asked, if you want to be saved from sins, what should you do? All of them chorused, we must commit sin. If you are not committed sin, where is the point of your... So if this is evolution, there must be an involution. What is the involution? The Vedas, the Vedanta clearly, unambiguously is telling, the whole universe came out from whom? From the Brahma. So, the evolution, what does evolution mean then? It can only have one meaning. We are all, the whole universe is going back into the Divine Lord. Apparently, from a dualistic point of view, actually no coming and going. But it is a coming and going because you see it is an idea in the mind. Yeah, like you know, in your dream you go suddenly, you fly up to Hawaii Island. Like that. And then we get up and you find, fortunately, yeah. So, the next, 8th verse, Prakritim Swam Avastabhya Vishrujam Punah Punah Bhutagrama Mimam Krishnam Avasyam Prakriti Vasha. Animating my Prakriti, I project again and again this whole multitude of beings helpless under this way of Prakriti. So, 2 points. Who is animating? The Divine Lord. If he doesn't animate, then this universe is not possible. Animating has 2 meanings. One meaning is in the form of prana. Second is in the form of consciousness, being aware of this universe. You may have prana, but if you are sleeping, you can't cognize this world. There is no point in it. That is the first point. What is the second point? This whole multitude of beings helpless under the sway of Prakriti. We are all helpless. We are all helpless. It is a very wonderful point we have to understand. What does it mean? What does it mean? Let me give you some illustration. You know, Bin Laden is trying to destroy the Western democratic institutions. At least that is our perception, right? Who is the root cause? Yes? Yes? Who is inspiring Bin Laden? Who is behind Bin Laden?
God.
Yeah. You know, in a school, they wanted to know how well the children have learned the Bible. So, an inspector came. Teacher also was sitting, who was supposed to teach. The inspector sat in the chair and, "Hey, you, John, who killed Jesus Christ?" He became frightened. "Sir, I did not do it." The inspector got wild. Said, "Come on, you have read Bible. Who killed Jesus Christ?" He said, "Really, sir, I am telling the truth, sir. I didn't kill." The inspector was glaring. The teacher was telling to the inspector, "Sir, I know this boy is a very good boy. He did not kill." See, open your eyes and say, if you believe in this scripture, in this teaching, who is running your, who has made Barack Obama, Barack as president, you made?
No.
See, open your eyes, think, why this man suddenly was thrown up like a lottery ticket? 2 years back, nobody would have thought he had any chance. I don't know whether you heard that joke, you know, that some white people didn't like. A black man becoming president. He said, you know, the day a black man becomes president of United States of America, that day pigs will fly. Within 100 years, swine flu. So, what is the point we are discussing? As though we are like cows tied by a farmer to a tree with different lengths of ropes. But who is controlling? It is the Divine Mother. Who created czars? Who created kings? Who is running this show? We are the Divine Mother. See, that is the highest viewpoint. If you ask Sri Ramakrishna, that's what happened. There are significant incidents in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. One day a visitor came to visit Dakshineshwar and he was wonderstruck at this beautiful temple. Then he said, what a wonderful temple Rani Rasmani had built. Sri Ramakrishna heard it and he got annoyed and said, "Everybody says Rani Rasmani had built the temple. Nobody says it is the Divine Mother who built the temple. By whose will the temple had come into being? It's a a wonderful story how Dakshineswar temple had come into being. I won't go into that story, but very briefly, Rani Rasmani was the person who built. She was born in an obscure village. When she was 8 or 9 years old, the son of a rich man happened to pass by boat, and she was playing with other girls, and he looked at them and he fell in love with Rani Rasmani. First love, you know, love at first sight, they say, and then he decided he will marry. So his father arranged that lady was, what is called, catapulted into a rich man's house, a poor, and then in course of time, the moment she stepped in, the wealth went on increasing. Her husband became very rich man, Raja Rajchandra, and very soon he died. She became the sole owner of millions, what you call nowadays, millions of dollars. And then she was greatly devoted to Divine Mercy. She wanted to go on a pilgrimage. So there are 2-3 versions, but in brief, the Divine Mother appeared. She was prepared to spend 100,000 rupees in those days. It's in 1850s. And Divine Mother appeared and said, "You don't need to go. That money you decided to spend on pilgrimage, you build my temple. I will receive your worship here." She built. But no Brahmin was prepared to do worship there. You know this story. Then Rani Rasmani sent for written opinions how this puja is possible. Then Sri Ramakrishna's elder brother, including Sri Ramakrishna, happened to be in Jhampur. His elder brother had written, "If you donate, make over this temple in the name of a Brahmin, then any Brahmin can do worship." So that's what she did. Even then nobody was ready. Then what happened? She told Ram Kumar, "You gave this opinion, I did what you asked me, but nobody is willing to come. Do you believe in what you have advised?" He said yes. He came. He became permanent priest. In 3 months or so, he died. Then Ramakrishna was forced to become the
priest.
And the whole history of the Dakshineswar temple had changed. So, tell me, who gave the money for the building of the temple? Divine Mother. Who inspired the Rani Rasmani to build the temple? And who inspired Ram Kumar to come and work? So that slowly she is pulling the dragnet, what do you call? You know, she is international, interlocanet, you know. She is pulling everybody. So, see, she started pulling long before the strings, because the father of Sri Ramakrishna was fairly rich. If he had not lost his property, they would not have come to Kamarpukur. If they had not come to Kamarpukur, then they would not have come to Calcutta, because he was not getting enough sustenance, he came to Jam. If he had not come to Calcutta, then Ramakrishna would not have been involved there, right? Then how Ramakrishna was born, you know that. His father went to Gaya and he had a dream there and all those things. What is this divine drama has taken place? So whose will is running in this universe? Yours or mine? There is an individual will where we are given a limited amount of freedom so that we can advance in our life. But the whole universe as a whole, the world as a whole, is not run by any one of us. It is run by the Divine Mother. If you don't believe it, you can't be devotees of God. Kare dauma brahma pado. Kare koroma. Some people, you elevate them to the position of Brahma. Some people, you put them down. It is your will. Shakali tomari icha. Do you believe in it or you only sing about it? If you don't believe, then don't sing. Because you are only enjoying it. The music, that's all, the sounds. But meaning, no, you are not enjoying it. You have to believe it. So, this is the truth. This whole universe is a show by the Divine Mother. That is, and in this show, as Mother Kali's symbolism states, there is birth, there is sustenance, and there is dissolution. Mahamaya, Thakur had visions. Why did Sri Ramakrishna fall and break his hand? Is the will of the Divine Mother. Has he ever said, I committed some mistake and I fell? He never said that. So, this is important point for us. Mayathyakshena, under my supervision, and this whole universe has come. First point. Second point is, all are under the spell of, then whom are you going to blame? Are you going to blame Bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, or Hitler, or anybody? Can't blame, because that is the Divine. In any case, you can't do anything. Even if you know, you can't do anything, because things go according to His will. That's why history means
His story,
not our story. His story. So, sometimes the Lord is incarnated. So, he is telling, it's verse number 11. Let us do, this is important. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sachara acharam hetunanena kaunteya jagad viparivartate. By reason of my proximity, prakriti produces all this, the moving and the unmoving, the world wheels round and round because of this. What is because of what? The prakriti is non-sentient. But the Lord is sentient. Without sentiency, the insentiency will not work. That is the symbolism of Mother Kali. The sentient is Shiva, is the sentiency. And Mother Kali is the
non-sentient.
So because she is borrowing, the sentiency is flowing. Like our consciousness is giving this awareness to both body and mind. That is why body, mind seem to be alive and functioning and all that. Okay. The next is, sometimes the Lord incarnates. So he says, avajananti mam modha manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam achananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Unaware of my higher state, as the great Lord of beings, fools disregard me, dwelling in the human form. We interpret it in two ways, this particular verse. What is it? The first one we have already discussed. What is it? That what did Hitler do? Who killed 6 million Jews? No. From our point of view, Hitler. So they don't know. Hitler is only an instrument. It is actually the divine will that inspired him. That is why, don't ask me, because I don't know. You have to ask God. But that is His will. This is the truth. Good also is happening. That is why, we are very, irrational people. When you are eating a first class rasagulla, have you ever asked God, why did you make me enjoy this beautiful sweet meat? Have you ever done that? No. But when you are eating something better, then what right have you got? He doesn't answer, fortunately, he need not answer, he won't answer, he is not answering. Yes, somebody asked me, one of our Swamis, does God answer everybody's prayer? He says, yes, he answers every prayer. Most of the time the answer is no. It is an answer, definite answer. He is answering. That is the truth. So, in the next few verses, what is he telling? There are people, again His will, that we should do be like that, that they are only worldly people, focused on the world, never think of any higher truth. Then, but there are other people who are called Mahatmas. What do they do? But they possessed of the divine prakriti, knowing me to be the origin of beings and immutable, worship me with a single mind. That is also divine will. Who produced wicked people?
No.
It's the divine will. Why did this interesting question was put? You know, there are good people and bad people. So Sri Ramakrishna was asked in the Gospel, why did God create wicked people? He gave two answers, very interesting answers. One, that if there were to be no wicked people, everybody is a good person, who will recognize your saintliness? You know, how do we know you are a good person? If everybody is good, then who are you? Who is good? Unless there is a contrast, there is no way to know who is good. That is the first answer. Second answer is even more interesting. He said, you know, good people are no goody-goody people, useless fellows. You know, supposing there are people, you have a huge estate and you have given to for rent. And these people, because you are so good, they are not paying your rent. What is the way? That you will have to employ a ruffian, a gunda. Then he will go with a shotgun. Yes. You know, one man from UK came and settled here in Texas because he liked. Then he's many years later, his friend visited. This fellow had a huge farm, was sitting smoking a huge cigar and a shotgun by his side. So the friend said, are you happy here? Very happy. How are your neighbors? Excellent people. Why are you keeping the shotgun? That's what makes them excellent. Without wicked people, strong people, crime is rising. Everything is in the name of democracy. Wicked people are prospering and good people are suffering. Is it not a fact? Can you deny that? There must be people like Saddam Hussein. If anybody does something wrong, you will chop off your hands, your feet, your family, then crime will come down. Otherwise, no, it won't come down. Through goodness, very few people really obey the rules. If the red light, you know, you can go through and nobody will punish you. How many of you? I have seen my own eyes. Oh my God, like that. You know. Suddenly, all of them are going at the proper speed. Why? This is blinking lights are seen through the rear mirrors. We are all like that. You know, there's some city here. I don't remember it. Maybe the New York or some. It doesn't matter. It actually happened. One day, one evening, around 8 o'clock, the electricity had gone off. And they came to know, people came to know very soon, that for 1 hour or so it won't come back. So it was a major fault. You know, all the shops were broken. Whatever people could lay their hands on, they just took it away. Yeah, that's what happens whenever there is a disaster. And earthquake, immediately these vultures will step in. Vultures mean human vultures. They, you know, people have run away. So whatever they could lay their hands on, sometimes they will be killed also because something, you know, but whatever it is, the nature, human nature. It happened in England, Devon. Someone's ship was wrecked very near to the shore. Thousands and thousands of, you know, electronic goods, including tissue paper. One fellow was carrying so much tissue paper floating to the shore, you know. One fellow got a new motorcycle. The police had to write to him, return back. The tissue paper, of course, they are unfortunate. But see, these are all gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. They would never do that if they are walking in the street, police are there and all that. some wicked people means fear. Wicked means fear should be there. Then we all become alert. That is also necessary. That is the answer given. What is, anyway, for our sake, what is important is there are good people, bad people. Both are created by God. It's a play. But goodness and evil, these are not fixed qualities. Very important to remember. So the good people sometimes become wicked people. Wicked people also become good people. So every saint, as they say, was a past sinner. And every sinner will be a future saint. This is the truth. None of us can put our hands on our heart and say, we are pure. Sometimes I tell jokingly, you know. We say, oh, how nice to see you, we are all friends. If only God gives us the power of knowing each other's thoughts, I wonder how long we will remain friends. Is it not a fact? Fortunately, nobody can read our thoughts. Yeah. I give interesting examples. Husband and wife, so sit so near, lovingly, and all that. Suppose Sri Ramakrishna says, you know, you are so loving, you are so good, I'll give you a choice. Would you like to have the same wife and husband next year also, next life also? Don't answer me. How many of remember? Husband and wife died and went to heaven. So, Saint Peter made them sit in a reception room. And he called the husband. See, there is a protocol, there is a test. You can't enter into heaven, only you have to pass this simple test, very simple. I give you a word, you spell it. Oh, come on, come on, what is that word? How do you spell love? The word love. Very simple. L-O-V-E, love. Passed. Inside. Then Saint Peter said, I have to go to the restroom. Would you please do exactly what I did to you? Mm. So he took Saint Peter's place. He called his wife. Said, this is the protocol. He explained. She said, come on, come on, husband. I want to see what is inside. Mm. So what is the test? No, I will give you a word. And you spell it. And you correctly spell it. You enter inside. Said, what is that word? How do you spell? Czechoslovakia. See, my intentions are good. So now, on what is practice? How is Czechoslovakia spelled? So you won't be taken in by surprise. So, it's an important thing. In the eyes of the Lord, there is no wicked people, there is no good people. They are all, it's a leela, it's a divine sport. But he is telling, if somebody wants to come to me sooner, get out of this divine, enjoy this leela, then they will have to do certain things. Develop sattva guna. So the progression is from tamo guna to rajo guna to sattva guna. Progressively, as consciousness is expanding, intelligence is expanding, the instrument becomes better and better. So what do? They always glorify, etc., etc. For the next few verses, I want to give you only the essence. Different people worship me in different ways. So let us chant this verse 15. Jnana yagnena chapyanye yajanto mamupasate ekatvena prithatvena bahudha vishvato mukham. Very beautiful, important verse. Every one of us are worshipping the Lord in the form of jnana. Jnana means what? Knowledge. Without knowledge, you know, but none of us can worship God. We may be devotees, but devotion is nothing but knowledge. What is that knowledge? I am a child, but my parent is God. This emotional response. What knowledge? I belong to God. I am divine, but my relationship is I am a child, I am a servant, I am a devotee of God. What does a jnani do? Jnani means one who follows. What does he do? He has very less emotion. He works more through his intellect. So what does he say? Because he doesn't have any emotion, so there is no relationship. So the only choice is, I am that. I am he. Soham. Aham Brahmasmi, etc. But there are different categories of people. Three categories of people. Ekatvena, prithaktvena, bahudha, vishvato, mukham. Ekatvena means I am the self of all. The same God is in the heart of everybody, seeing one divine self in everybody. That is the highest stage. The next is prithaktvena. Prithaktvena means they worshipping God, what is called the qualified non-dualistic system. I am not one with God, but I am part of God. I am like a cell, you know, body, the whole body is one unit, but each cell is different. Each limb has its own separate function. You cannot equate the hand with the leg. Hand has its own function, leg has its own function. Every cell in the body has its own independent existence. That is an astonishing fact. How many cells die within us? Are we aware of it? Constantly cells are dying, constantly cells are being created. This is the truth. So, there are some people who worship God with that, or it may also mean that worshipping of different aspects, God, worshipping God in different aspects, as Lakshmi, as Saraswati, as Mahakali, as Durga, as Shiva, etc., etc. also. Then he says, as Prithabahudha, in various ways. There are so many religions are there, Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Baha'ism, Jainism, Sikhism, etc., etc. In future so many also will be coming. That is one meaning, that the same Lord is worshipped in different ways, as though they are separate. The other meaning is that whatever I see temporarily is in fact divinity in the long run. I haven't yet attained to that highest vision to see the self right away. But I see the potentiality, and that seeing that potentiality is called the beginning of morality. Beginning of morality. How? You know, a mother gives birth to a baby. And what does the mother see in the baby? He doesn't even know, and accepting selfishness, he doesn't know anything. You give him something, and next moment you say, can you give me a bit of what you have? He will say, no. But that is a child. We accept it. Mother understands. This is a child, and understanding is not there, but it will come when the child grows up. It is that vision of what, not what a person is right now, but a person is going to be in the future. That's what Holy Mother, Sri Ramakrishna, do you think he all saw saints in us? No. But he all saw potential saints in us. Whoever has gone to Holy Mother, do you think they are all saints? They are not saints. And Jesus Christ says, I have come to save the sinners, to rescue the sinners. So what does he mean? Rescue the sinners means what? One day they will all outgrow their sinful tendencies and they will manifest their potential divinity. That's why when they killed him, what was the prayer that came from his mouth? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So he knew what they did was wrong, but he knew they are doing out of ignorance. Each man is nothing but a bundle of his knowledge. We are all bundles of our knowledge, means bundles of our own understanding. If I understand one way, I behave one way, that way. If you understand one way, you behave in that way. See, if you meet a tiger, then what? How do you behave? In one way, you run away. And if the tiger sees you, how, what is its understanding? Yeah. You know, early morning you are walking, tiger also is walking, it meets you. What would be your interpretation? What, whose face had I seen in the morning? Whose, probably has seen his own face. But if you ask the tiger, whose face I have seen, must have seen the face of God. How kind you are to provide me with such a sumptuous breakfast without much struggle. Each one of us, whatever we are now, we are potentially divine. It will come to the fore through self-effort. It will take time, but it will come. So, that is what the vision of some people will be. We all see people in different ways. That is what the Lord is telling there. Then the next few verses, tomorrow we will discuss last class. He is going to enumerate that everything is He. What is the connection? What did He say first? I, through my divine power, give birth to this universe. But who is giving birth? Really, to this universe, He only, His own power. So how He is manifesting in this universe, the next verse, the next chapter is an elaboration of this Vibhuti Yoga, is the glory of the Lord. These few verses, Aham Kratraya Raham Yajnaha Mantro Maham Swadhaham, all these, the next few verses, very briefly He tells. So the 10th chapter is an elaboration of the whole chapter is called Vibhuti Yoga. The 11th chapter is really, as we were only telling, is it really you? Yes. Arjuna says, then let me experience it. Then he says, you can't see through your ordinary understanding. You need a special understanding, spiritual understanding. I will give you that understanding. But that is only temporary, because he didn't earn it. Only through grace. That is why very soon he could not stand it. Trilokanath Sanyal could not stand it. Mudur Babu could not stand it. Swami Vivekananda could not stand it. Swami Brahmananda could not stand it. People crave, oh, by your grace, let me have spiritual experience. No, you know how it is? Suppose you have an old car, and you want to yoke it, you remove your old engine and put a Formula One engine. What will happen? The engine also will get spoiled, your car also will get spoiled. This old body, you want to have inject high spiritual experience. It won't go together, because the problem is, God is ready to give you right now whatever you want. But this instrument cannot enjoy, don't you see? No mother will ever say to her child, I will not give you nice food in large quantities. But she won't give. Why? Because she doesn't want to give. She knows the child's capacity to digest is only this much. When the child grows, she will give. So we are all, no reason to complain. Why you are not bestowing it? So, we have to understand what is the relationship between this manifestation of God and the law of karma. So, what does the law of karma do? It prepares our instruments for receiving the divine nectar, which is already available in this world. It's available right now. But we are incapable of receiving it, retaining it, and enjoying it. So what does the law of karma do? It prepares the instruments so that we become fit. And when we are fit, the divine grace is not waiting. First write an application. And then I will consider, I will have a committee to assess your worthiness, whether you are fit citizen to become citizen of USA or not. No, the Lord is right here waiting, begging, I want to come in. No, you can't come in, I am very busy. Yeah. 100 reasons we are telling why the God cannot come in. Yes, this is the truth. So law of karma. And not only law of karma, is for divine grace. Divine grace means you always think spirituality. In terms of spiritual, no. If you want money, it will come money. You want beauty, it will come. You want science, scientific discovery, it will come in the form of scientific. You want to participate in Olympic Games, you will become a fit candidate for Olympic Games. Whatever you want, desire you have, the fulfillment is already waiting for us. But we have to deserve to get it, and the process of deserving happens in the form of law of karma. If you understand this, then you understand there is no good, there is no evil. It's all because when our instrument is bad, suffering is the result. When the instrument is good, happiness is the result. Then there is a saint is only one who has prepared the instrument and receiving the good things. A sinner is one who has spoiled his instruments and waiting for repair. Yeah. This is the only reason. These ideas. Then the another idea is that he already we briefly hinted, there are people who desire a sort of higher worldly happiness, going to heaven. He says it's good, but it is also temporary compared with eternity. So ultimately he comes to the point that you worship me alone and I will give you everything. I will give you everything. This world also, other world also. See, interesting point. What is it? If God can give you $1 billion, will he refuse to give you $5? So, you see, why do people turn away from worldly happiness?
Much higher.
This is important for us to understand. See, vairagya, dispassion. What is dispassion? Turning away from the world. What does it mean? Negative way of understanding is, this world is unreal. As a woman is most dangerous being in the whole world. You know, the scriptures are filled with this nonsense. What is it? Some women, they are very wise. They say women are greater than men. Do you know why, Susan? Do you know why? You know, woman is greater. How many letters are there? W-O-M-A-N. Man. He is only part of woman. That is the meaning. Okay. Dispassion means not turning away, saying it is unreal, unworthy or anything. Saying there is a far greater happiness. And it is the natural law, psychology. When we are accustomed to a higher joy, we automatically give up the lower joy. That turning away from the lower happiness in order to attain to the highest happiness is called the ascent, spiritual ascent. Now what is important here is, when once we attain the highest, then there is no need to think about it because we already enjoy. But the condition is, unless you lift your leg from the lower step of the ladder, you cannot attain. You have to lift. There is no way, first let me be there, then I lift my leg. That is not going to happen. First you lift and then put it in the higher one, then you lift the other one. So that process is called vairagya. So from a lower joy to a higher joy. These few ideas we will discuss tomorrow night. Om Vasudevasutam Devam Kamsachamulamadam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagatgurum.
Grant and say, okay, it's the divine force which is making him do this one, and we cannot just keep quiet, and we have to take action against him, or and say, well, it's all done by divine force, and no need to take any action.
See, it's a very interesting question. This question should never arise in our mind. We are talking from two different viewpoints. If you are 100% convinced, realized, the whole world is run by the Divine Mother, then you will just enjoy it. Because is Bin Laden or anybody good, bad, all these are nothing but a play. In the play, would you like to cut? Suppose you are creating a drama. And in the drama, a wicked man comes and tries to beat a good man. Because it is not a good scene, will you cut it? If it is a drama, will you cut it? You won't cut it. When you know it is a drama, you will include more of such scenes. But from our viewpoint, we have a clear-cut distinction that this is good, this is evil, first. Secondly, I am not too sure how much we really know what is good and what. These are all very, very relative. Second important thing is, we don't think God is working. We think we have to do something. You see, for everything you are doing, when you are hungry, what will you do? You run to the rich. You are not asking God to come and supply you. Whereas a baby doesn't go to run to the he simply say, Ma, I am hungry. Mother will give. Is it not? So, as long as we have this our ego, individual ego, the question of letting it go doesn't arise. We have to put forth our best to do what we are sincerely convinced, which is good. That should be our response. Otherwise, always this doubt crops in everybody's mind. You say everything is will of God, then if everything is will of God, should we do something? The question of doing something doesn't arise if we are convinced it is a will of God. You know why? First of all, can your will pit against divine will? Is it possible? Whatever he wills, he will do. Secondly, if it is God's will, can it be really bad? Who calls it evil? No, who is calling Bin Laden is evil? This is a very interesting question. Your very question is very, very interesting. Do you know why? I don't think you have thought over it. Suppose I am a friend of Bin Laden. What would be my opinion of Bin Laden? Whom do I think is Bin Laden, real Bin Laden? Do you follow what I am talking? Your President Bush would be the Bin Laden. If I am the friend of?
Bin Laden.
Yes, Bin Laden. Whereas you are already convinced that he is bad. Is he really that bad? If you ask my frank opinion, some of our so-called democratic leaders are more of a terrorist than Bin Laden. After all, how many people he damaged? How many people, our people, who supplied weapons to Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and all those places, do you know history? Read a bit of history. What is the whole American economy running on? War weapons, most of it. And how can war weapons give you economy if nobody is buying? If you don't create war between two countries, then who is going to buy your weapons? Come on, come out and think a little bit. You will understand, in the name of democracy, in the name of, you know, civilization, what we are doing. Even now it is going on, this fun is going on. Who is encouraging all these mafia people? Do you think they could have really survived without some strong support from some of these politicians and others? How much dirty things are going on in the name of and the big, big speeches. And if somebody is really sincerely trying to good, how many people are there now? Take this president. He is not God. He is not an omnipotent, omniscient person. But I believe he has got some good things in him. He is trying to do. How many people are trying to pull him down? Who is Bin Laden trying to pull him down? Who is trying to do it? Our own people are trying to do it. Is it not a fact? What do you call it? You tell, if you want to tell something, you say, who can promise perfection? Who has got that wisdom to say, this law is perfect? It will satisfy everybody. Is it possible? If it satisfies some people, it will dissatisfy. Remember, whatever you do, there will be some people who will be happy, some people will. But in general, which will help a little more number of people, and damage or being dissatisfaction to less number of people, that should be the aim. I think that's what he's trying to do. Anyway, that's my perception again. I don't know what would be your perception. So this is what I believe. This our labeling people as good or evil, and it is all very, very relative thing. Yeah, we have to be very careful about it. My understanding is one, your understanding is another. Yeah. According to me, you may be evil. According to you, I may be evil. Are you surprised to hear this? You know, so many billions call Jesus Christ Savior, Son of God, isn't it? His own people crucified him. Who crucified him? Did somebody else crucify him? His own people. But what can they do? That is their understanding. Not only that. See, study history in this light. Jesus himself didn't want to be crucified. He came to know he is going to be crucified. He didn't want. So what did he do? Did he not go and pray? And what was the answer he received? This is the cup I assigned to you. I mean, this is my will. And he said, yes, if it is your will, I will accept. Is this not what he said? So then, now tell me, who killed Jesus Christ? You have to accept. Yeah. I'm not talking, I'm not concocting, I'm not interpreting. I'm simply quoting from the Bible itself. You have all read Bible. And it is there clearly. It is my Father's will. Let thy will be done. Is it not? So, whose will is that these people should crucify? It is God's will. Then, if it is God's will, can we call these people evil people? Come on. Be a little more rational thinking about it. That is the truth.
At the highest level, yes.
And what I am saying is, if we are ready to accept the Bible's words or Vedic words, Vedanta philosophy as true, in faith, then that should be our attitude. If we are not prepared to accept it, then you have to be true to yourself and say, okay, this is good, this is evil, but I will do whatever is my best to combat the so-called evil. Then there is no conflict, you do, and after doing your best, and if something, things do not change, then what choice have you got? Better to accept and say, I have done my best, and I can't do anything, I can't go against the divine will. Is that not what is happening? You know, the two world wars. People knew the world wars were coming. They tried to prevent. Nothing worked. Mahabharata war. Did not Krishna go and try to prevent it? Krishna Rayabhara. Could he stop it? He didn't stop. Interesting. Gita. What? Arjuna said, this is sinful. I will try my level best not to create more evil. He said that. What did the Lord say in the 11th chapter? Mayai vaite nihataha purvameva nimittamatram bhava savyasachin. All these people have been killed by me in the form of time. You just be my instrument. If you understand that, then Bill Laden is an instrument and others are also instruments. This is the simple truth. So let us not be in a what is called neither this side nor that side. Let us be either
cat
this side. Cat
on the wall.
That is not going to serve any purpose. Let us be clear. If I think I am responsible, then you own the responsibility, do your best and accept whatever happens. If you think God has done it, then also you have to do what is your best, because that is God's will that you should do your best. But there will be no conflict in our minds if we do our best. That's what happens.